In August 2005, a friend dragged Dan Lamoureux to see a nerd rapper named MC Chris perform in Chicago. Before the night was over, Lamoureux realized he wanted to find out more about this world of geek rap. So he made a documentary called Nerdcore for Life. Dan Lamoureux is a self-described dork. He told Anne Strandchamps that's what inspired him to make a film about the nerdcore culture.
If there's a social ladder for geekiness, nerds are above dorks. And so as a dork, I look up to nerds because, you know, they have skills. So when I realized that there were people making nerdy music, I thought, well, this is so bizarre. And like, you know, even now, I've known about it for almost 3 years. And even trying to describe it, it's like, that's just weird. How can that be? And so it's a perfect fit for a documentary because it raises a million questions.
Yeah, I have to say this was completely off my radar. I mean, geekster rap, who knew?
Mm-hmm.
So what is geekster rap or nerdcore? What does it sound like?
Nerdcore is simply hip-hop made for nerds by nerds. And the intended target is hardcore geeks. So if you're listening to some computer science nerdcore, you're going to hear some pretty obscure rhymes about coding and hardware and software and things that are going to go over most people's heads.
Yo, MC++, my rhymes are so fat. I'm piece-based complete, but I'll reduce you to 3 sat. My crew is so hard that we roll an NP, and bitches dereference my porn for free.
To really enjoy some of the best nerdcore, you have to be a die-hard, devoted geek to whatever subject matter is being covered. There's an anime rapper named Ultra Cloistron, who's one of my favorites, and I don't understand 99.9% of what he's talking about. To really get it, you have to basically live and eat, drink, and sleep anime to get his music. And I don't, but it's still fun.
Yo, understand that I do know who I am, even if I rhyme about lame public
spans. So it sounds like there are sort of sub-genres of nerdcore. There's computer programmer rap, and then there's anime rap. What else?
That's one of the most interesting things about nerdcore is that there are a million types of nerds, and so there's a million different little subgenres of nerdcore. And so you'll have the computer science guys. That's one of the most popular areas. You'll have a lot of video game hip-hop. People will take kind of old Nintendo games and then remix the music, the little blippy 8-bit music, and make beats out of it, and then rap about The Legend of Zelda over it.
I level up my druid when I'm playing World of Warcraft, stomping anybody stepping close to my warpath. It got serious, I'm passing up booty so I can finish the quest because that is my duty.
And you have, you know, people who, there's one group I can think of that is totally devoted to the Lords of the Rings.
He's Spiegel, not Deagle. Step up to the mic, he look regal. He's mean, he's green. Gonna be fox like you never seen.
My precious.
And then there's guys who rap a lot about Star Wars, and then there are guys who rap about their favorite comic book characters.
I'm hardcore when it comes to anime. Some call it Japanime, kiddo, I keep it anime. I'm on that witch hunter arc. Cowboy bebop, Hagane no Renkin Jutsu, she no detox.
Think you can cook, I got a grappling hook. Let's make this quick, cause I'm really booked. I'm a devious degenerate defender of the devil. Shut down all the trash compactors on the detention level. My backpack.
It does kind of get mixed around. I think they get a little bored of their kind of one niche after a while, so they kind of spread out into other areas. And, you know, basically geek culture and internet culture is what brings them all together. They all kind of can rap about that because that's the one thing they all share in common.
So as you set out to explore this kind of subculture, did you trace it back to an origin as a starting point? How long has nerdcore been around?
Hip-hop in the earliest days in the 70s and 80s, it was about having fun and, you know, being yourself and not caring what people thought and just having a good time was the whole point. And so hip-hop has changed a lot in you know, the last few decades. But in a weird way, nerdcore is a bit of a throwback to the original days where people just didn't care what, you know, everybody thought. They just did what they wanted to do and have fun and talk about their lives. And so in the late 90s, a lot of people started getting online and they started getting home computer software. And so as internet connections were getting faster and computers were getting better, people were able to make songs at home and then upload them to the internet for other people to hear. And so a lot of acts all at the same time around, you know, the world simultaneously started making hip-hop about things that they love, nerdy stuff, and posting it to, you know, to their home pages.
on the hunt for this mammal that once took my leg, with my worn down crew and my man Queequeg.
You're never gonna find him.
He's a big sperm whale.
The ocean is enormous.
Shut up, we're setting sail.
And so there are guys like Whitey Cracker, MC Frontalot, MC Hawking. They're kind of the pioneers of nerdcore.
MC Hawking, that's got to be a reference to the physicist Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, he's a kind of a character created by a web designer named Ken from Boston. And he uses a computer-generated voice program, just like the one Stephen Hawking has, to make hip-hop.
I'm a disciple of science. I know the universe is in full compliance with natural laws, but many place reliance on the pseudoscience of quacks and morons and fools because their education's deficient. They put faith in omniscient, make believe beings who control their fate, but the hawk ain't with it. Take it, their holy writ ain't the least bit legit. It's a bunch of bull.
You know, it strikes me that part of the appeal of hip-hop, traditionally at least, was it was about giving a voice to the underdog, you know, to the underclass. Is that part of why nerds who and geeks who've been traditionally, you know, in high schools at least, in mainstream culture, the underdogs, is that part of the appeal?
I definitely think so. I mean, rock has always had a geeky side to it. Nerds have taken a lot of crap, basically, for a long time, and they've always been kind of the one little group of society that it was always okay to make fun of and everything, and they're kind of fed up. And they're realizing, you know what? It's the 21st century. And the world, we own it now. This is ours. And we don't have to take any more crap. We're in charge. Hmm.
So tell me about some of your favorite nerdcore artists. Who do you like best?
There's a guy named Whitey Cracker. He calls himself the undisputed king of nerdcore. And he kind of is. He used to be a computer hacker. And he was busted for doing some kind of serious stuff to, like, the NASA websites and everything. And he got in a lot of trouble, but he reformed. Now he's like some very, very well-off web entrepreneur and also rapper on the side.
So does he have more, I guess, the nerdcore version of street cred because of that kind of background of his as a hacker?
they call it nerd cred. They call it nerd cred. Yeah, so his nerd cred is
sky
undeniable.
High.
And yeah, exactly. He's got the FBI records to prove it.
Cybercrime seems to be how some people, particularly juveniles, feel important. For Whitey Cracker, a 17-year-old drop.
Big smile and programming the hand in these fans with unbeatable jams, and let's face it, I'm visually basic. Hand me a website now to face it.
Where is this movement going? I mean, I guess so far I was thinking this is a lot of nerdy white guys who are making music in their basements and playing it for each other, but it sounds like it's actually starting to go mainstream.
It's creeping into the mainstream. It's so bizarre because when I started the film project, I mean, nobody knew what nerdcore was. And basically, the film was just going to be me visiting geeks in their basement of their mom's house, you know, while they make some music. And now they do shows and people show up, like a lot of people. People are into it, which baffles me. But there are a lot of nerds out there. Most of them are in their early 20s, and they grew up with hip-hop as being the dominant social force. I mean, they grew up with it everywhere, all around them. And so you can't expect them not to want to be a part of it, at least a portion of nerds. It's part of the American culture now, and a lot of nerds are growing up with it, so they want to participate. One point about nerdcore I always try and get across is that it's not just a bunch of white dorks making hip-hop and making fun of it or anything. It's a very kind of multi-ethnic movement. They're all, you know, nerds of every shape, color, kind, and creed these days. And so consequently, same thing with nerdcore.
A lot of the musicians you interviewed seem to be promoting a kind of nerd pride. Is nerdcore as a scene kind of about reclaiming nerdiness?
I definitely think so. They're tired of hiding in their basement. And if they love Dungeons and Dragons, they want to shout it from the rooftops. And they're tired of pretending to be things that they're not. And that, they even discuss that in the film that, you know, when they were younger, they felt ashamed that they loved certain kind of nerdy things. Now that they're grown up and they realize that they were wasting their youth by hiding what they love from people. They should have been out there and finding other people to do those things with.
Hmm. You know, there are a lot of paradoxes in this movement. One of them is, how do you create a social movement out of people who are famously introverted?
What first interested me about nerdcore was that I went to a nerdcore show, and I was shocked that there were nerds in the audience, because we were at kind of a cool club here in Chicago, and you don't really see those type of guys hanging around in that club. And I was like, I can't believe that these people made it out to do a social activity and be with other people and see live music. That's crazy. That's not nerdy. You know, it's a strange way. Like, the people that I've gotten to know are really honing their social skills thanks to Nerdcore. They're networking online and then taking it to the next level, which is meeting each other in the real world and stuff. But they're still nerds about it. Even some of the Nerdcore shows I've gone to, they will bring TVs into bars and set them up and play PlayStation 3 or whatever. Instead of sitting at the bar and having a drink, because they're all drinking soda anyway, they'll go off into their corner and avoid everybody else and play games.
So has making this documentary changed anything about the way you think about nerds, any of your preconceptions?
Yeah, you know, when most people hear the word nerd, they think of a stereotype like from Revenge of the Nerds. And nerds aren't like that anymore. Nerds are, they're still kind of meek and they're still kind of shy and they're kind of awkward and everything, but their numbers are growing quickly. And it's like pod people. We're all slowly being sucked into nerd culture. We can't help it. Everybody is a geek for something these days. Everyone has that one kind of little almost embarrassing interest. They have some action figures or something on their desk at work, or they waited in line overnight to go see Iron Man or something. So geek culture is becoming the culture. And I think that's why Nerdcore is so, fascinating, is because what two more powerful kind of social movements are there besides hip-hop and geek culture? And now here they are slamming into each other with bizarre results.
Throw up your hands if you like this music. Podcasting DJs, feel free to use it.
Dan Lemereau is the producer and director of the documentary Nerdcore for Life. You can find a link to the Nerdcore for Life website on our website at ttbook.org.